Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Today's daf has been sponsored by Nisim and Elias Basan in memory of their dear mother Sarah Bat Malka Aleha Shalom, and in honor of the rabbi for giving us all great inspiration for the Torah studies every day. The school of mitzvot, today's daf is also being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Acham Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam and Avraham Ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are starting on Kuftet Zayin on the bottom, and we are actually five lines from the bottom, starting with Amar Rav Chisda. We learned in yesterday's daf a machloket between Rabbi Yishmael and Hachamim regarding a case where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbat. So Rabbi Yishmael says you skin the animal for the Korban Pesach, but you only skin it halfway down, just enough to take out the meat of the animal to put it on the Mizbeach. Where the Hachamim said you actually can skin the entire animal, and they based it on a pasuk in Mishle, Kol Paral Hashem Lemahaneu, that everything that God does is for His glory, and therefore you must do it in a glorified way, either so the meat does not become spoiled, because when you leave the flesh, the skin on it, the meat that's underneath it will become spoiled, or because that you shouldn't treat the basar of Kodesh like a nevela, and therefore to leave it like that, half-skinned, would not be mechubad, would not be respectful. In any event, that is the opinion of Hachamim. Now the Gemara is going to tell us how that machloket by Korban Pesach has ramifications to our Mishnah. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Mor Ukba, Mai ahadaru le havraya le Rabbi Yishmael benosh Rabbi Yochanan ben Beroka. What did the rabbis answer to Rabbi Yochanan? Which means when Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yishmael said that you can't skin only half the animal, what did the rabbis answer back? What was their response? Hachi ka amrele. This is what they said. Im matzilim tik hasefer im hasefer. If we learned in our Mishnah that it's permissible to not only save the sefer from the fire, but you're also able to save the tik that it's in, meaning the case, and we said even if there's money in the case, it is still permissible. So they said, if it's permissible to save the sefer with the teak and the money in the teak, lo nafshit et ha-pesach me'oro, shouldn't it be able to, just like we're able for the tzorech of the Sefer Torah, which is Kodesh, we're able to even take out a teak with money, so shouldn't it be permissible to skin the animal of Korban Pesach? Which means the Sefer Torah is equal to the Korban Pesach. And just like we make a leniency to take out the Sefer Torah with a teak with money in it, so it should be permissible for that matter, Hachamim said, to also skin the entire Korban Pesach. You see, the rabbis made leniencies when it comes to Kodesh. By a Sefer Torah, they let you take out a teak with kesef in it, with money in it. So they should be just as lenient when it comes to skinning the Korban Pesach, which is also Kodesh. Rabbis argue, they say they should allow you to skin the entire animal. So comes the Gemara and says, Midameh, which means Rabbi Ishmael answers back, is that a fair comparison? Hatam tiltul, haka melacha. Where were the rabbis lenient? By the law of Mukseh, by tiltul. Tiltul is only midrabbanan. It's only rabbinical. So therefore in the Mishnah they were lenient to take out the Sefer Torah with the teak, with the money. The worst thing you're doing is what? Tiltul, which is only Yisud Rabbanan. So they waived it. However, over here by skinning an animal, Skinning an animal is one of the lametet melachot to deoraita. So just because they were lenient in the Mishnah by the teak, there's no proof to be lenient by an actual melacha. Amar Rav Asher. So Rav Asher has a different version of how to learn the discussion between Rabbi Ishmael and the Hachamim. He says betarte pelige. Says the rabbis and the Rabbi Ishmael actually argued on two fronts, on two issues. Pelige betiltul. They argued on the subject of tiltul, meaning after you skin the animal.
Sorry.
After you skin the animal, is it permissible to move it or not? Which means there's a separate mahluk which we didn't discuss until this point. Which means you skin the animal, either according to Hakamim, the entire one, or according to Rabbi Ishmael, half of it. But the she'ela is, let's say you did half the animal. Does the animal become mukseh? So it says, there's a mahluket, and we'll see what the mahluket is in a moment. Upligi b'melacha. And the machloket is also why are you allowed to actually skin the animal itself? And this is what the rabbis told the Ishmael. If the Hakamim allowed you not only to take out the sefer, but also the teak, also the case, shouldn't they allow you also to move the or the skin that's attached to the basar? Which means the Gemara is telling us now that the opinion of Rabbi Ishmael was that after you skin the animal halfway, it's mukseh. You have to leave the animal where it is. You can't move it. So the Hakamim came along and told Rabbi Ishmael, why are you so stringent? Just the way they allowed you in our Mishnah to move the Sefer Torah in the teak, so for that matter they should allow you to move also the basar with the or. Now what is the connection? So look at the bottom Rashi. Rashi says in the bottom line, Dehavi name kevot shamayim. Because this is also kevot shamayim. Why? The basar dumyad de sefer. That the basar is similar to the sefer, they're both kodesh. Umutal letaltelo mehamal etzel. And therefore, you should be allowed to move the basar, let's say from the sun into the shade. The agav basar yitaltelu ora mehobarbo. And by taking the basar, see, the mukseh part of the basar is the flesh, the skin. But so what? Just like we allowed you to take the sefer with the teak out of the fire, so too we should be lenient in mukseh to take the basar, which is not mukseh, with the, let's say, or, which is mukseh. Comes the Gemara and says, midameh. B. Ishmael says, is that comparable? Hatam na'asa basish lidvara mutar. Hacha na'asa basish lidvar ha'isur. Which means, the teak and the sefer. Rashi on the top line. Teak a sefer, the case of the sefer na'asa basish lidvara mutar, the taltelo beloshum deleka. Which means, you, even if there wasn't a fire, it's permissible to move a sefer in a teak, because the teak itself becomes a base to what? The sefer. And the sefer is not mukseh. The sefer bal tiltulu, which means the sefer itself is permissible to carry. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, midameh, is it comparable? Hatam, and I'm reading back in the Gemara. Hatam na'asa basis lidvara mutar. In the case of the sefer, the reason why you can take it out is because it's mutar. The sefer is mutar, and therefore the teak becomes a basis. Hacha na'asa basis lidvar ha'isur. However, over here, the or itself becomes a basis to isur. Why? Where's the isur over here? Rashi, second line. Hacha hay or, this or, Na'asa basis ledvar shikulo asur betultul. Why is the meat asur betultul? Shabasar asur letaltelo. Why? De lo hazi la'achila ad urta de pesach. Enon echal ela balayla. Because the meat you can't eat today. The meat of korban pesach you cannot eat until the evening. And therefore, betzalin, you have to roast it.
Rabbi Yishmael let the kavod shamayim b'ne'echal lehidyot, and therefore Rabbi Yishmael says, since this item is eaten by regular people, it's not given on the mizbeach, and therefore he would say it's mukseh, which is, even if you wanted to tell me that she writes va'afilu avi or torat keli alam, even if you wanted to tell me the skin of the animal is not mukseh, mitzar mishum davi basish leisur v'kol sheken dehu gufeh la bartutulu, which means even if the or was not mukseh, the meat is still mukseh. Kol sheken, in our case where he holds that not only is the meat mukseh, but even the or is mukseh. So therefore the conversation went like this. We go back. Hachamim came along and said, Rabbi Yishmael, why should it be mukseh? If you skin it halfway, you should be permissible to move it. Just like we said in the Mishnah, it's permissible to move the teak with the sefer. So the Rabbi Yishmael says, what are you comparing? The teak with the sefer, the teak becomes a basis, ledvar mutar, because the sefer is permissible. So therefore, of course you should be able to move it. However, in this case over here, the or over here is a basis to the meat, and the meat is isur. Why is it isur? Because you can't eat it today. It's not permissible till Motzeh Shabbat, until Pesach. Therefore, what's your comparison? So Yigamara says, okay, fine, this is what he meant in the conversation. Ela hachika amrele. This is what he told him. Imatzilim tik shel sefer imasefer ve'afal pi sheyesh betocho ma'ot. He came along and said like this, if we allow you to take the teak with the sefer, even though there's money in the teak, so therefore, lo nitaltel or agav basar, so that's why we should be lenient also, to move the or, even though the basar is mukseh. Well, I goes, isn't the money mukseh? And still they allowed you to move it out of the house, so therefore they should allow you to move the or, even though the meat is mukseh. Gemara says, midam, eh? Is that comparable? Hatam nasa basish ledvar ha'asur v'ledvar ha'mutar. Hacha kulon nasa basish ledvar ha'asur. Big difference. Over there, in the case of the teak with the sefer Torah, the sefer is mutar. And the money is isur. So therefore the teak becomes a basis, a base that's holding heter and isur. Also the rabbis were lenient. Why? Because bottom line, there is some heter in the teak. And therefore they let you carry that even though there's some money. It's called the basis, the dvara heter or dvara isur. But in the case of the Korban Pesach, it's only isur, which means the meat is totally isur. It's only mukseh. And therefore, he will not allow you to move it after you skin it. Okay, but that says, fine. Ela hachi kam nilis. So this is what he meant to tell him. Im vi'im tik, sheyesh betocho ma'ot, me'alma le'atzil bo sefer Torah, lo nitaltel or agav basar. So he's saying like this. If we allow, if the Hachamim allowed us to take a teak that only had money in it, in order to move it, in order to bring it to the Sefer Torah, which means the teak had money in it, there was no Sefer in it. You're just taking the teak with the money, moving it and bringing it to the Sefer, and then putting the Sefer in it to bring it out of the house. If the rabbis were lenient on that, to move actual mukseh like that, so therefore they should be lenient also, in this case where the basar and the or are together, even though the basar is mukseh, so what? Just like they were lenient to move a keli with money in it to bring it to the sefer, so they should be lenient, Al-Kamim was saying, to move the Korban Pesach, even though it has the basar is mukseh. Now the question is, Gemara asks, Vehi gufa minalan, how do you know that's permissible? Which means, where did we see that that's permissible to move a teak with money in it? All we saw now in Mishnah is if it was there already. Meaning you had the sefer and the teak with the money. But who told you it's permissible to go out of your way and take a teak with money in it and bring it to the Torah? So the Gemara says, Vehi gufa minalan, where do you know that from? Ilema, maybe you'll say from this, Demedecha di itbe, lo shadi leu, from the fact that when it was in there already, we didn't make you throw it out, right? If you found, let's say, the sefer and the teak with the money, we don't make you take out the money and shake out the money. So ituyena me maitinan. So maybe you deduce from there that you could also bring a teak with money. Gemara says, no, that's not a good comparison. Midame hatam adache v'ache nafla deleka. Once you find the teak in the sefer and the teak with money, rabbis did not make you take the money out, because by the time you take the money out, it's going to take time, the sefer is going to burn. However, but here anyway you're going to take the teak. You're running to get the teak. So the time that you're spending to go get the teak, just empty the money out. So you have no proof that you'd be able to take a teak with money in it and move it to go put the Sefer Torah in it. On the contrary, if you found it all together, take it out fast, because we don't want you to waste time. Who told you that if you're going to go get a teak, maybe I'll tell you, before you bring it, empty it out. So, Ela, Amar Mor Barabashe, Leolam Keda Amrinan Meikara, which means, we go back to the original way of learning the conversation. Meaning, there really is only one argument between Hachamim and Rabbi Yishmael. And the only argument is what? Behafshata. The argument is by skinning the animal. Meaning, by mukseh, everybody will agree that the animal is indeed mukseh. Even the Hakamim will agree. So the only argument between Hakamim and Bishmael is what? To what extent do you skin the animal? Now, the rabbis brought it ayah to themselves from the fact that we're allowed to take the tika sefer, right? Even though there's money in it, right? So to that, Rabbi Yishmael answered back and said, what? They came along and said, what are you talking about? That's a basis, the dvar eter and dvar isur. So the Gemara says, El amar morav asher leolam kedamrina meikara. Really, we're going to go back to the original answer that they're only arguing by hafshata. Udekakashalach. Oh, going back to the other question. And that which you asked, hacha teltul v'hacha milacha. Right, the first question of Ishmael said, what are you talking about? Just because they were lenient on mukseh, does not mean they're going to be lenient on a melacha deoraita. Which means, you're right, they were lenient for you taking the sefer Torah with the teak with the money. Does that mean they're going to be lenient to make hafshata, which is a isur deoraita, it's a melacha? No, answer. Kegon de lo kabae le leor. We're talking about a case where the guy does not want to use the flesh. Meaning, it's a davar she'en mitkaven. Meaning, he doesn't have kavanah to use the flesh of the animal. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, the famous Shitan Masechet Shabbat, davar she'en mitkaven is mutar. And therefore, that's why the rabbis allow you to skin it, because he doesn't need the flesh. He's not mitkaven really for the flesh. So the Gemara says, wait. What does Psik Neshe V'Layemot mean? If you do a melacha, and let's say you don't have kavana for the melacha, but if it's going to happen inevitably, which means if the melacha is going to happen automatically, I don't care if you don't have kavana for the melacha or not. Bottom line is going to be isur, even according to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, the Gemara says, what are you telling me? You're telling me, oh, you know the reason why the rabbis are lenient to skin the animal? Enomit kavin. Not enomit kavin. Bottom line, you're skinning the animal. I don't give you enough kavanah to use the flesh or not. Bottom line, are you skinning? Yes, it's inevitably. You can't skin an animal without skinning it. And therefore, it's even Rabbi Shimon agrees that that's going to be asur. So the Gemara says, no, the shakile bebarzeh. Shakilu Barzera, she learns, you skinned it in very small pieces. And since you skinned it in very small pieces, it's not the normal way to skin like that. And therefore it's only Isur Dirabanan. And therefore, in such a case, they were lenient. And therefore, the explanation is like this. Just like we saw in the Mishnah. They were lenient like Abbe Mukseh. When you wanted to take out the teak with the sefer and the money in it. Because it's only Yisud Rabbanan, so they were lenient. So they were lenient over here also. Ay, it's Yisud Deoraita. It's not Yisud Deoraita. Why? Because the way you cut it was in such a way, which is not the normal way to cut skin, let's say. You cut it in small strips. And therefore, since it's only Yisud Rabbanan, the rabbis waived the Yisud. So let's review exactly what took place in this last piece over here. Basically, what took place here is, we came out with a very important conclusion, that the case that the Hachamim say that it is permissible to skin the whole animal on Shabbat, Erev Pesach, is only in a case where you're doing it in a way where it's only Yisud Rabbanan. And which case is that? Bibarzeh, in small pieces. But the rabbis would agree, if let's say you would skin it in the normal way, Asur. Even if you didn't have Kavanah, doesn't matter, it's inevitable. So then we have to review what we learned, that the rabbis allow you to skin the whole animal. It's only in a case where it be Yisud Rabbanan. And that's what they told Rabbi Ishmael. They said, Rabbi Ishmael, just like in the Mishnah, they allowed you to take out the teak with the money in it, and you answered me back, what do you mean? That's only the Rabbanan. This is a melacha. Rabbi Hakamim answered back, no, this is not a melacha. Because the way we're telling him to do it is also only Isur Shevut. It is only Isur Drabbanan. So comes the Gemara and continues. Ulhechan Matsidin Otan. Now we had a question. When you take out the Sefer Torah, where are you allowed to take it out to? To which area? So the Mishnah brought down actually a Mahloket. Tana Kama said lemavui she'eno mifulash, which literally means an alley that is not opened. And Ben Betera learned af lemifulash. Ben Betera said even to an open alley. Now let's review just the configuration of the way they used to live in the olden days. The way they lived in the olden days, they used to have chatzerot, courtyards. In the courtyards they had homes. They had many courtyards. In front of the courtyard there was an alleyway. Okay? Now, there's two types of alleyways. There's an alleyway that is closed in on three sides. Okay? You have the walls on both sides, right, of the alley. There's two walls. And in the back there's a back wall. And the opening is open to the Rishut Harabim. Normally in the Masechet Arubin that's called a Mavui She'eno Mefulash. A mavui that is not opened, meaning it's closed on three sides, and the opening to the shoot of the beam is open, and the Gemara there discusses how you have to make a little heker, something noticeable on the opening, so the people will know that they can only carry in the mavui, but they can't go past that heker into the reshut harabim. That's called the mavui she'eno mefulash. It is not opened. Then you have the classical mavui she'mefulash. Mefulash means it's only has two walls and it's opened on both sides. Okay? Now, in our Gemara, the Gemara is going to give at first a different interpretation of the words mefulash and eno mefulash. Once we get the definition, then we can go back and understand what the Hachamim held and what Ben Betera held. I gave you the standard definition of what Mefulash and Enem Mefulash is. Now we're going to read the Gemara, and it's going to give us three different ways to interpret this Mishnah. And we begin. Hechi Dame Mefulash, Hechi Dame She'enu Mefulash. Now the Gemara's question, what's the case of a Vui that is Mefulash, that is opened, and what's a case where it is closed? Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda gives the first answer. Shalosh mechitzot. If you have three walls, good. Ushne lechayim. And you have two vertical poles. Those poles are called lechis. They did is they would put one pole on one side of the opening and one pole on the other side of the opening. Two lechis. Now those lechis were placed, they were not cross beams, they were vertical poles. Placed at the corner of the entrance on both sides, they served as a heker. What does a heker mean? As something noticeable, so you know, the mavui ends here, you can't carry past the mavui because it's the shut rabim. So he says like this, Rav Chisda, when it has three walls and two poles, that's called mavui she'eno mefulash. That's called a closed mavui. However, gimel mechisot velechi echad, when it only has one vertical pole, zeu mavui mefulash. That is called a mavui mefulash. Now, in order to appreciate what the difference is between two poles or one pole, we have to read a little further. Vitarvayu, both opinions of our Mishnah, meaning Hakamim and Ben Betera, Alibad and Rabbi Eliezer. They both hold according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, which we're going to see right now. Ditnan. Hechsher Mavui. We have a three-way machloket, how to kosher up a Mavui to carry. Bet Shammai Omrim, Lechi Vekora. Bet Shammai is stringent. They say to kosher up a Mavui, to carry in the Mavui, you need to have a vertical pole and a crossbeam. You need a Lechi and a Korah. You need both. Ubet El Omrim, O Lechi, O Korah. They see, or, whatever you want, either a vertical pole or a crossbeam. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shnei Lechayim. Rabbi Eliezer says, in order to carry in the Mavui, you need actually two vertical poles on both sides. Now, I must point out, Rabotai, that really, the reason why you can't carry in the Mavui is because it really looks like a public thoroughfare, because everybody in the Haser, you know, walks into this area. So that's why the rabbis made that you need a heker in the Mavui itself in order to make it permissible to carry. And also there's another thing they needed. They needed what's called shitufei mevuot, which means you also have to make a shituf between all the people in the Haser. You have to take a piece of bread from all the people in the Haser in order to join them to make the Mavui as if it's owned by one common unit. And that makes it permissible. So you really need two things. You need the Lehi or the Korah, the three-way machloket, and you also need a Shituf, a joining of all the people in the Haser to join to make the Mavui as if it is one common domain. In any event, let's review Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. To kosher a Mavui, what do you need? You need two Lehis. Okay? And now we go back to interpret our Mishnah, according to Rav Chisda. There's a fire in the house on Shabbat, and you want to take out a Sefer Torah. Mishnah said Mutar. Where could you take it out to? So the Hakamim said, Lemavui She'eno Mefurash. You can only take it into a Mavui that is closed. According to Rav Chisda, what does closed mean? Exactly to Bili Ezer Shita. Three walls and two lechis. Which means the rabbis are telling you you're only allowed to carry out the Sefer Torah into a full-fledged Mavui. Whereas Ben Mitrah was more lenient. Ben Mitrah said you're even allowed to take it out to a Mefudash. What does Mefudash mean? Three walls and one lechi. So Ben Mitrah was lenient by a Sefer Torah, whereas Hachamim, if you're going in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, they really weren't lenient. They said you're only allowed to take it into a full-fledged kosher mavui l'shitat Rabbi Eliezer, three walls and two lechis, which is that's the way that Chizda is explaining the lashon of the Mishnah mavui she'eno mefulash. It means three walls, two lechis. So comes the Gemara and says Amale Rava Gimel mechisot velechi echad mefulash karitle. He has two questions. Question number one. If it has three walls and one lechi, you're calling that a mavui mefulash, an open mavui? Normally when you have the word open mavui, it means usually that it's either opened on both sides or it has no hekir at the opening. But Rava says, it's not so strange to call a mavui mefulash a three-sided mavui with a lechi in there. That's not the proper language to call it mefulash. And number two, ulabanan natsir letocho ochlin umashkin, which means, according to the rabbis, why only a Sefer Torah? You should be able to take out even food into that area, because bottom line, it's a full-fledged mavui. Meaning we're going to learn later on that the rabbis were strict when it came to taking out food on Shabbat. They only allowed you to take it into the Hatzir, into the courtyard. You can't take it into the Mavui. Why not? If you're talking about a Mavui over there that has three walls and two lechis, it's 100% Kasher Mavui. You should, just like you'd be able to take it out into the Hatzir that has an Eruv, you should be able to take it out into the Mavui. Why would the rabbis make a difference between food and Sefer Torah? So for that reason, Rava gives a different interpretation to Rav Mishnah. Ela ma Rava. Shte mechitzot. Ushne lechiyin. Zehu mavui she'eno mefulash.
That explains it differently. We're talking about a mavui that has two walls. Meaning, you have a chatzer on one side, you have a chatzer on the other side. Right? Those are two walls. Both sides of the mavui, which means the entrance and the exit, let's say, on the extreme sides, on the length, let's say, it's open on both sides, and it has lechi echad. It has one beam, a vertical beam, at the opening. One beam, right? Open on both sides with one beam. That is going to be called Zeu Mavui HaMefudash. Again, let's read that inside. Ela Maraba. Go back to Ela Maraba. Shtei Mechitzot. Two Mechitzot. Vishtei Lechayin. If it has just two walls and two beams on the side, Zeu Mavui She'enu Mefudash. That will be considered a closed Mavui. Shtei Mechitzot VeLechay Yachad. But if only has one Lechay, Zeu Mavui HaMefudash. That will be considered an open Mavui. Now, who are they going like? V'tarvayu Alibad Rabbi Yehuda. And both rabbis of the Mishnah are following the Biyuda's opinion on the Mavui. What's the Biyuda's opinion? The Tanya. Yeter al ker amar Biyuda. The Biyuda has a hadush, has a leniency. Mish yesh lo shne batim. A guy, let's say, has two homes, private domains. Bishne tzidei reshut rabim. On two sides of the reshut rabim, meaning he has one house on the right side, one house on the left side, and you have a reshut rabim, let's say, in the middle. So it says, Ose lechi mikan ve lechi mikan. The Biyuda holds it. Minat Torah, the middle area is a reshut yachid. Because he holds to be considered a reshut yachid, all you need is two walls. And since you have two walls, technically minat Torah, you can carry in the middle area. Big chidush of Rabbi Yehuda. However, the rabbis necessitated what? You need two lechis. One on one side, and one on the other side. Or korah mikan, the korah mikan. Or a cross beam on either, on both sides. Okay, and you can actually carry according to Rabbi Yehuda in the middle. Now, Amru lo, so they told Rabbi Yehuda, and the rabbis argued on him and said, no, you can't make a heter to carry the shut rabim just by doing that. But let's analyze Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you have a two walls on both sides, you have a shut rabim in the middle, that can be kosher. Why? Because minat Torah to the shut yachid. Because the two walls suffice. The rabbis came along and just put a lechi on this side, a lechi on that side. Oh, so now let's go interpret our Mishnah. There's a fire in the house and you want to take out a Sefer Torah. Hachamim come along and say, you can only take it into a mavui she'eno mefulash. What does that mean? We'll say, it's two walls, eno mefulash means it's closed, meaning it has lechi on both sides. And they're taking the opinion of the Yehuda. Right? And Ben Betra will be more lenient. He'll say you can even take it into a mavui mefudash. What is that talking? Two walls, and you only have a lechi on one side. So therefore he's lenient, meaning he'll hold that a Yehuda will be lenient in the case of a Sefer Torah with a fire, that you don't have to have both lechis to take it out into that area. You can even take it out of where there's only one. That's the way Rabbah learns. Comes the Gemara and asks on him, Amar Abaye. Lididach name lerabbanan natzil letocho ochlinu mashki. Same question, meaning according to Hakamim, if they're holding like Rabbi Yehuda, this is a full-fledged kasher mavui, two walls lechi on both sides. If that's a full-fledged kasher mavui, why are they only being lenient by a sefer Torah? They should be lenient even to take out food. When it came to food, we're going to learn, the rabbis only said you could take it into the chatzir. Right? Why only the chatzir? If this is a full-fledged mavui, you should even be able to take food into the mavui. Meaning the same question that we asked on the opinion of, the first opinion of the Hizda, now they're asking the same question according to the opinion of Rabbah. Which means, the way you interpreted the machloket, it should be permissible according to the hakayim to even take out food. So the Gemara says, Ela, third answer. Amar Rav Asher says, Shalosh mechitzot velechi echad. Three mechitzot. One lechi. Ze mavui she'eno mefulash. That's a closed mavui. Gimel mechitzot belo lechi. And three mechitzot without a lechi at all. Zeu mavui mefulash. Now, Va'afilu lerabi Eliezer. which means like this. According to the final answer of Rav Asher, both the Banan and the Bimbetira are going like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Eliezer said a koshim avu is three walls, lehi on both sides, shnei lehayim. That was Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, right? That's kosher. Now, Chachamim are going to say like this. By a Sefer Torah will be lenient. You could take it into a Mavui She'eno Mefulash. What is a Mavui She'eno Mefulash? A Mavui with three walls and one Lehi. Ah, so you see the rabbis are coming along to say for a Sefer Torah, even though normally we're only going to be the Eisen. To be a kosher Mavui to carry, it's got to be three walls with two Lehiim. But for a Sefer Torah, it's enough to have three walls and one Lehi. And they call that Mavui She'eno Mefulash. Of course, it's not Mefulash, it really is closed. I mean, it has three walls and it does have a lehi, so it does fit in the words enu mefulash. It is not open, but it's really not 100% kasher, because Rabbi Eliezer says you really need two. But for Sefer Torah, Hakamim will say lenient. You can be lenient. But now we understand why they were only lenient by Sefer Torah and not by food, because really this mavui is not a full-fledged mavui to carry. That's why they're only allowed you to carry food into a chaser hameorevet. And Bebetera will hold that you can even go and take it to Mavui Mefulash, meaning three walls and no Lechayayim, according to the Bidah. Let's read that inside. I read from the top of the Daf. Ela Marav Asher, Shalosh Mechitzot Velechi Echad, Zehu Mavui She'eno Mefulash. Gimel Mechitzot Belo Lechi, without any Lechi at all, Zehu Mavui Mefulash. Ve'afil Rabbi Eliezer, even according to Rabbi Eliezer, Ve'amar, Ba'ina Lechayayim, that you need two Lechis, Hani Mili Le'ochlin U'mashkin. That's only if you want to take out food and drink, then you need a full-fledged Mavui, meaning just like you can take it into a Hatzer that has an Eruv, you can take it into this type of Mavui. Aval Sefer Torah, but for a Sefer Torah, even one would be enough. So basically, we had three answers over here how to interpret our Mishnah. Our Mishnah was vague. Our Mishnah just said, Hakamim say you could take it into a Mavui, She'eno Mefulash. And Bimbetera said you could take the Sefer into a Mavui, Mefulash. The Gemara's question was, what do these terms mean? What is Eno Mefulash and what is Mefulash? What are you talking about? So Rav Chisda and Rabba and Rav Asher, each one gave their interpretation of how to answer. Let's review the three answers quickly. Rav Chisda's answer was what? First of all, we're going like the Rabbi Eliezer Shita. Rabbi Eliezer Shita is a legit mavui is what? Three walls, two lehaim. One on each side. And that's what the Hakamim mean. When they say you can take it out into a mavui, she'eno mefulash, meaning a closed mavui, it means a full-fledged mavui. Three walls, two lehaim. To that, Rabbah asked, why only a Sefer Torah then? You should be able to even take out ochlinu mashkin. It's 100%. So Rabbah says, I'll give you the answer. We're going in Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that says a kosher mavui is really just two walls and a lehi on both sides. And that's what the Hakamim meant when they said you could take the Sefer Torah into a mavui she'enu mefulash. Enu mefulash means two walls on both sides and a lehi on each side. To that, Rav Asher asked, what are you talking? It's a full-fledged mavui. You should be even allowed to take ochlinu mashkin. Therefore, Rav Asher comes along and says, I'll give you the final answer. We're going in Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. That says again, you need three walls and two le'ayim, two side posts, right? And the Hiddush is, the Hakamim will say, you know what a mavui she'enu mefulash is? Three walls with only one side post. And we're lenient for Sefer Torah, even though it's not 100% full-fledged mavui, because you really need two, but we made a leniency for Sefer Torah, but not for Ochlinu Mashkin. For Ochlinu Mashkin, you have taken it to a chatzeh that is me'urav 100%. So those are the three answers of the Gemara. Comes the Mishnah and says, Matzilin Mazon Gimel Se'udot. Now, on the fire in the fellow's house on Shabbat, the Gemara says you're allowed to save food. How much food could you save? So the Gemara says you could save, Mishnah says you could save enough food for three meals. Meaning on Shabbat, you have to have three meals. Friday night, Shabbat morning, and so that's Shlishit. Hara'uy le'adam le'adam.
again, food that's befitting for human consumption, you save for the human beings. Hara'oi lebehema lebehema. And you're also allowed to save food for the animals. Ketzad. What's the case? Nafla dileka b'lele Shabbat. If let's say the fire broke out on Friday night, before he had dinner, matzirin mazon gimel se'udot. So he has to save enough for 3 meals, because he has to have for Friday night, Shabbat and Seudah Shlishit. B'shachrit, but let's say the fire broke out in Shachrit, meaning he had already Friday night dinner already. Matzidin mazon bet se'udot. So then you can only save for 2 meals. B'mincha, meaning after lunch, now it's mincha time, the fire broke out, mazon se'udah achad. You can only save mazon for 1 meal. That's the opinion of Tanakama. Rabbi Yosef Omer, le'olam matzilin mazon shalosh se'udot. Rabbi Yosef is lenient. He says, listen, since bottom line, the day of Shabbat is a day that's worthy of 3 meals, and where are we letting you take it out? We're only letting you take it out into a chatzer that has an eruv in it. So therefore, he holds that this is considered a ter, and we're not going to make a gezerah, and you can take 3 meals regardless, no matter when the fire breaks out. Very important. Mahloket Tanakaman Rabbi Yosef. How much food you can take out. Hakamim say it depends when the fire breaks out. The Rabbi Yosef says you can always save these seudot. Comes again and says, Mechni. Gemara has a question. Let's analyze. Behetera katara. Over here, you're taking food that's not mukseh, and you're only bringing it outside into the courtyard that has an eruv. So everything he's doing over here is mutar. Natsil tfeh. Why don't you let him save more than 3 se'udot? Let him save 30 se'udot. What's the difference? He's not doing anything in suit. It's not like the case where we're telling him you can carry it in a place where there's no eruv and things like that. Then already I understand. But if we're only allowing him to take it into a chatzer that has an eruv, so let him take as much as he wants. Amar Rava, mitok she'adam bahul al mamono. Since a person becomes frantic or confused when it comes to his money, now he sees his whole house burning down, so he becomes a little nervous. What is he going to do? Isharitle. If we start letting him go in and take out more stuff, more fruit, he might come to extinguish the fire. So therefore we limit him. You can only take out the minimum amount of se'udot. So Abaye says, wait, if you're telling me that you suspect the guy to make isu, that he might put out the fire, Elahad Etanya, we have a braita. Nishpera lo chabit b'rosh kagol. Let's say a guy has a barrel of wine on top of his roof, okay? And it broke on Shabbat. Now the wine is dripping all the way down the roof. Mevi kli, he's allowed to bring a vessel, umaniyah tahteha. He could place it, let's say, in the alleyway, right underneath to catch it dripping from the roof. Ubilvad shelo yavi kli acher, but you're camping a second keli, v'yiklot. V'yiklot means, let's say, to catch it in mid-air, as it's falling off the roof, you want to, you know, catch it in the air. Kli acher, or to bring a second vessel, v'yitzrof, or v'yitzaref. That means, let's say, put the vessel right by the edge of the roof to catch it as it's falling, before it lands all the way down to the ground. You put against the roof to collect it, you know, right from the roof into the keli. Meaning, you're only allowed to bring one keli on the ground. So the Gemara says, Hatam my gizera ika. Why are you making a gizera over there? Which means, what's the problem? Why should it be forbidden if I'm in an enclosed area? What's the difference? There's no fire over here. So why shouldn't I be allowed to take as many vessels as I want to save my wine? I should be allowed to take one on the ground, take another one to catch the stuff that's dripping in the air, take a third one and put it by the roof itself. How come over there the rabbis were stringent, you can only take one kidney? What's the gizera over there? See, you want to tell me that by the house, the reason why they didn't let you take out more food is gizera that you might come to put out the fire. Over here, what's the gizera? So the Gemara says, hachanameh, here also. Gizera, shemme yavi keli derech rechut rabim. Again, they're worried if you, we let you take more than one keli, in your hastiness to save the wine, you might come to carry a keli through the Reshut Rabim. And if you carry through the Reshut Rabim, that's obviously going to be asur. Gufa, we learned in a statement. We just learned the statement. If the barrel broke on top of the roof. Mevi kli umaniach tachtea. You can bring a vessel to catch the wine that is falling. Ubilvachlo yavi kli akhay, but you cannot bring a second vessel, the yiklot, and catch it from the air. Kli akhay vi yitzere, if we take another keli and put it by the roof to catch it as it's falling. Nizdamir lo orchim, but let's say he has company, he has guests. Now he really needs wine. More wine. So it says, Mevi keli akhir vekolet keli akhir umitzaref. Then you can bring more vessels to save more wine, because you're going to need to give it to your guests. However, velo yeklot ve'ahar kach yasmin. You can't collect the wine with many vessels and then invite guests. Ela yasmin ve'ahar kach yeklot. First you have to have the guests there, then we'll let you go save them the wine that you need. Ve'en ma'arimim bekach. Which means, and you're not allowed to trick. Which means, you're not allowed to make a subterfuge. Meaning, you can't invite guests that really don't need to eat. Meaning, you tell, oh, come, I'm going to give you something to eat over here. Meanwhile, they don't need to eat, they ate already. It has to be legitimate. Mishum Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Amar Ma'arimin. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, you know what? You could trick in this case. You can even bring people that ate already, that really don't need to drink wine, and tell them, come, I'm inviting you for a drink, and you can go save the wine. So I have a machloket over here. Can you do a trick to save the wine or not? So the Gemara wants to say now, Lema b'flutad Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yoshua kamepalge. This machloket between the two rabbis, by the case of the barrel of the wine, are you allowed to make a trick or not? Seemingly the Gemara wants to say, that's the same machlok between these two rabbis over here, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Why, what did they say? Tetanya, oto ve'et beno shenaflu lebor. We have a law that says, if an animal and its child, oto ve'et beno, lo tishchatu beyom echad. You're not allowed to slaughter the mother, let's say, and its son on the same day. It's a law in the Torah, by animals. We want to make shaitana. Now we have a case. It's Yom Tov. You have the mother and the son, animal, fell into the bor, fell into the pit. And Yom Tov, you'll have to make shechita. But everybody agrees you cannot make shechita on both these animals. But you want to take them out of the pit. Now, since you can only slaughter one, so the other one obviously becomes mukseh, because you're not going to be able to slaughter it. So now, what do you do with two animals, oto ve'et beno, that fell into the pit on Yom Tov? How do you get them out? So the Gemara says, oto ve'et beno shenaflu lebor. Rabbi Eliezer omer, ma'ale tarishon amenat leshochato. You can take out one of them, meaning anyone you want, in order to slaughter it. Vasheni ose lo panasa bimkomo b'shvir shelo yabut. The second one you have to leave down there, because it becomes mukseh, but you don't want it to die, so you can throw food to it, just so that it can live in the bor. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua omer, ma'alin et harishon al menat l'shuchato. You're able to take the first one out of the pit with intention to slaughter it. Ve'en l'shuchato. And then you can change your mind and say, you know what? I'm not slaughtering it. I like the other one better. Uma'arim uma'alet asheni. And now you can trick and bring up the second one. Now you have them both up there. Now you can slaughter anyone you want. So the Gemara says, we see a machloket over between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Can you trick or not? Rabbi Eliezer says you can't. Right? You only bring up one and you feed the other. And Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can trick. So we want to say that the same machloket by oto ve'et beno is the same machloket by the guests of the wine. Yeah, the opinion that says what you could say, invite guests even though they really don't need it. That's hard about it. That would be like the Rabbi Yoshua. And the opinion that says no, you can't make hanama. That would be like the Rabbi Eliezer. Gemara says mimai. Who told you that these machlokot are compatible? Dilma maybe. Ad kan lo kamar Rabbi Eliezer atam ve'efshar bepanasa. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer was only strict over there by the case of oto ve'et beno, because you're able to keep your animal from dying. How? Just throw food down into the well. So therefore, you're not going to incur a loss over here. because you could still keep your animal alive. Therefore, he said, what do you have to make a trick for? Just feed the animal. But here, if you don't make a trick, you're going to lose all your wine. So maybe he was lenient by the wine case. You understand the difference? Again, by the case of Otoved Beno, Rabbi Eliezer was saying, leave it in there. Yeah, what do you mean? It's going to die. It won't die. Just feed it. Feed it and live till after Yom Tov. However, in this case, Obi, if we don't let you trick and bring more vessels, you're going to lose this wine. So maybe in a case where you're going to have a guaranteed hefsed, maybe there to be the Ezra will agree, you can make a subterfuge trick. Now, go the other way. And I could say, maybe, you know why the Yoshua was lenient to take both animals out of the pit? Because you have a rule of Tzar Bala Chaim. You're not allowed to cause animals to be in distress. So therefore, maybe that's why the Yoshua said you can make harama. Because you have the factor of Tzar Bala Chaim over here. However, by the case of the wine, no Tzar Bala Chaim by wine. So you lose some wine, big deal. So therefore, could be the Yoshua is only lenient by the animal case, but he's not going to be lenient by the wine case. So therefore you cannot say that this machloket is compatible to the other machloket. Tanu Rabbanan, Yamana says in a braita, Hitzir pat nikiya. Let's say he saved from the house clean bread. What does clean bread mean? Let's say bread that was made from solid, meaning fine flour, good bread. En matzil pat hadra'a. You can't come along and say after you save the fine bread, oh, I want to go back in and save the black bread. They call the black bread pat hadra. Hadra comes from the Hebrew word hadar. Hadar literally means beautiful. But they're saying this in an opposite way. They call the black bread beautiful bread. But it's like it's the reverse. The point is, because there for sure he doesn't mean it. If you saved good bread, you can't come along and say, no, I don't want this, but I'd rather go back in for black bread. Who wants black bread when they have good bread? So that trick you can't pull. However, the opposite you can. Pat hadra'a, if let's say you saved black bread, pat matzil pat nikiya, then he'd be able to say, you know what? I don't want to eat this bread. I want to eat for Shabbat the white bread. He'd be able to go back in. Because it's normal that a person would rather eat pat nikiya than pat hadra'a. Next case. Umasilin miyom kippurim the Shabbat. You're allowed to save food from Yom Kippurim to Shabbat. Let's say Yom Kippurim came out on a Friday, right? Now let's say there's a fire in his house on Yom Kippur, so he'd be allowed to save food from Yom Kippurim in order that he could eat for Shabbat. Aval lo mishabbat Yom Kippurim, but not the opposite. Let's say Kippur is on Sunday, right? Now he has the fire on Shabbat. You cannot save from Shabbat in order to eat on Sunday. Why? Because we'll tell you, Sunday night, you can go get, when the fast ends, go get new food. Which means, you're not eating anyway on Sunday. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Sunday night when the fast ends, go get different food. So we're not going to let you save on Shabbat for Kippur. The answer is, l'man mishabbat to Yom Tov. Nor, if let's say Yom Tov is on Sunday. You cannot save food from the house on Shabbat, because I'll tell you, on Yom Tov, you can make food, you can cook new food. Therefore, you don't need, only on Shabbat itself where you can't cook, then you need the food. But on Yom Tov, go get new food, go cook new food. The law is Shabbat, the Shabbat Abba'a. That goes without saying, you can't save from one Shabbat to the other Shabbat, because you can get food during the week. Okay? Tanur Rabbanan. Shakach pat mitanur. Let's say I forgot bread in the oven before Shabbat started. Right? Now it's Shabbat, he forgot the bread in the oven. The Kiddush Alav Hayom. Now already it's Kiddush Hayom, meaning it's Shabbat. Matzilin mazon chalos se'odot. He's allowed to go into the oven and actually save enough bread from the oven for three meals. Ve'omer la'achirim. And he can even tell others, bo v'atzilu lachem. He can even tell others, go save enough bread for yourselves. U'shu rodeh. However, when he takes the bread out of the ovens, now you have to remember in the olden days, they used to place the bread on the sides of the oven. And they used to use a special paddle called a marda, where they used to scrape it off the walls. It's like you see sometimes in the matzah bakeries, they have these long flat wooden utensils that they used to put the matzot in and the matzot out, or in the special type of ovens that, like I said, they tanu, they put it on the side of the oven, they would use a marda. So the Gemara says, when you're going to take it out of the oven on Shabbat, you cannot use this paddle. What do you do then? Lo yirdeh b'marda, ela b'sakin. You can only use a knife. Meaning, you have to do it in a shinui. You have to do it in a different way. So the Gemara says, "Ini have a contradiction." Ve'ad tana de b'rabbi Yishmael. It says in the pasuk, "Lo ta'aseh kol melacha." On Shabbat, you're not allowed to do melacha. Yatzad tiki'at shofar v'ridiyat apat shi chokma b'ina melacha. You know what we learn from this pasuk? Only melacha is asur on Shabbat. But blowing the shofar, or for that matter, using this paddle to take out bread from the oven, technically from the Torah should be permissible, because it's not a melacha. It's called the chokhmah. It's a wisdom. It's not an actual labor. And therefore, what the Gemara is saying, why should it be necessary to take it out with a knife? You should be able to take it out even with the paddle. Now wait, let me explain to what I'm telling you. You're right. Even though it's forbidden, even though it should be permissible, min haTorah, to use the marda and to blow a shofar, because it's not a melacha, Hachamim came along and said, it's forbidden. Oh, so therefore it's only asur midrabanan. So therefore the Gemara is asking, if it's only asur midrabanan, in this case over here, he needs food for Shabbat. He forgot his bread in the oven. Why are you telling him to take it with a knife? Even though it's Isur Rabbanan, we should say that the rabbis will waive their Isur. Let him take it out with the marda in order that he should eat. Why are you being so strict on the guy and telling him that he has to use a knife? So Gemara says, Kamad efshar l'shinuyeh mishaninan. Hey, listen, if it's easy for him to make a shinui, a change, do it. Which means you're right. If let's say he only had a marda and didn't have a knife, we would make it permissible. Use the marda, it's only Isur Rabbanan, and we'll waive it in this circumstances. But if a guy has a knife anyway, so what is the question? Instead of doing it the normal way with the marda, even though it's only Isur Rabbanan, better to do it with a knife. A shinui, meaning use the knife. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rav Chisda, Le'olam Yashkim Adam Lehotza'at Shabbat. A person should get up early in the morning on Friday in order to prepare for Shabbat. Shere'emar, where do we know this? It says in the Pasuk, V'haya b'yom ha-shishi. It's on Friday, this is in the Midbar. V'echinu et asher yavi'u. And they prepared what they brought. And the Gemara says the altar immediately. Meaning, what did they bring? They brought the man. Right? The man fell on Friday for Shabbat. When did the man fall? Early in the morning. And it says, Vehechinu et asherevihu. Meaning, once they collected it, right away they prepared it. So you see, when did they prepare for Shabbat? Early in the morning. Vehechinu et asherevihu. So therefore you learn from there, you should prepare from Shabbat, from early in the morning. Amar v'abba. B'Shabbat chayav adam l'bsoa al shtei kikarot. On Shabbat, a person is obligated to make the berachav ha-motzi on two loaves of bread. Dichtiv, lechem mishneh. Because we know, in the Torah, on Friday, they got a double portion of man. They call that lechem mishneh. So from there, we learn that you have to break bread on two loaves. Amar Rav Asher, hazina le Rav Kana, I saw Rav Kana, denakat tarteh. Yes, when he made the berakah v'motzi, he held two loaves. Ubatzah hada. But he only broke from one of them. Amar, so he said, liktu ketiv. The pasuks, or laketu ketiv. All the pasuks says is they collected two. It doesn't say they broke from two. So therefore, when you make that much, you have to collect two loaves and make that much seed, but you only have to break from one. Rabbi Zerava batsa akula shiruta. Rabbi Zerava had a custom. When he would break the bread Friday night for that motzi, he would break a big piece that would last him for the entire meal. So the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Rav Asher, Ve'am mechze kera'avtenuta.
cutting such a big piece. He looks like a glutton, Chas v'Shalom, which means it looks like he's ravenous. He's very hungry to cut such a big piece like that. It's not mechubad. So the Gemara says, Amar le, kevan dechol yoma lo avid. Since all week long he didn't cut his bread like that. Vahidana hu dekabin, and he only did it on Friday night or Shabbat, nechbon Shabbat. Lo mi'zekir avtenuta. It doesn't look like he's a glutton, but what does it look like? Kavod Shabbat, meaning lichbod Shabbat, he would cut a generous piece that would last him for the entire seuda. Comes the Gemara and says, that she says the kavod Shabbat is that he's eating a lot lichbod the seuda. Rabbi Amev, Rabbi Aseh, ki meklalu rifta de'aruba. Whenever, let's say, they would end up with the bread from the Eruv, which means they lived in a Hatzer, right? And we learned that in order to carry in a Hatzer, all the members of the Hatzer have to combine in a loaf of bread, right? That makes the Hatzer now one domain for everybody to carry in. And every week they would leave the bread, let's say, by a different dweller in the Hatzer, right? So the weeks that Rabbi Amir and Rabbi Asi used to get the bread for the Eruv of the Hasir, what did they do? Sharu al-Laveh. They used to eat it during one of the meals of Shabbat. Now, Amar, Amri, they said, Ho'il v'tahabid ba'hada mitzvah, l'tahabid ba'mitzvah harina. They said, since already this was used for one mitzvah, for the mitzvah of Eruv, Hatserot, now let's use it for another mitzvah, meaning eating it for Seudat Shabbat. So you see the concept of recycling the mitzvot. But since you used it for one, recycle it and use it for another mitzvah. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.